found this on Ganarum. Ganarmir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's. It's a performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, Vinny.
And I'm Barf.
And Faith Hertzberg.
Aw. What a cheater.
I know, right?
Me, I gotta be me.
I have trouble keeping track of myself, all right?
What else could I be but me?
Because if you don't listen to this episode, pizza's gonna send out for you.
And just remember, I'm my own best friend.
So we're doing a little bit something different today.
Mixing it up for everybody.
Yeah, we're a month away from the release of Star Wars Episode 7, and to commemorate a month away, might as well talk about the best Star Wars parody that also has some Star Trek elements in it.
Yes, and this is from 1987, Spaceballs. Mel Brooks movie, comedy, parody, all around.
Spoofing everything from Star Wars, Star Trek to Alien, and... Yeah, even Planet of the Apes a little bit.
Yeah, it's pretty goofy altogether. I hope, I'm assuming probably everyone has seen this, but if you haven't seen this, you should definitely go rent it, find it, download it, whatever. Because this is definitely a movie worth seeing just for your own cultural, you know, background. There's so many jokes, so many references to it.
Oh yeah, I love Mel Brooks in general, but this is probably one of my top three Mel Brooks films, along with History of the World and Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Right. Like I said before to you, my hands-down favorite comedy of Mel Brooks is Young Frankenstein. But this is definitely one that's gotten a lot of views over the years.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
It's definitely a go-to movie. I remember liking it as a kid and talking with my friends about it, because my parents wouldn't let me watch it all the way through when I was a kid.
And there's a lot of swearing in this, because I was thinking about letting my kids watch it, and I was like, I can't let them. They swear way too much in this right now, you know?
So
my kids are too young for that.
Yeah, so I couldn't watch it all the way through. So I've seen bits and parts on TV, and I remember always talking to my friends about it, because it was like Star Wars, but it was funny.
Right.
And, you know, a dark helmet with this giant...
Right.
Giant head.
So maybe we should just give a quick rundown. So this is obviously a movie that's kind of parodying the Star Wars franchises, that there's an evil empire called the Spaceballs. And apparently their atmosphere on their planet is missing or gone or...
Dwindling, because they sell atmosphere in nice little cans. You can buy your 12-ounce can of atmosphere and just... breathe it in.
Right. And they had the and so they're going to go steal the atmosphere from a planet Druidia, and planet Druidia has a shield around it, so they can't just go and just, you know,
take the
up.
Air they've got to get the code. And on the planet, it's Princess Vespa's wedding day, and
she's supposed to be Princess Leia.
Later on, she actually wears headphones that look like the buns that Princess Leia has.
From episode 4, right, New Hope.
And since C-3PO is such a sissy, basically his representation is Dot Matrix.
Who is the voice of Joan Rivers, which is, I'm a huge fan of Joan Rivers. I think she's
amazing. The hair of the robot was supposed to also look like Joan Rivers a little bit.
Oh, it's all supposed to be Joan Rivers. But it's a cross between Joan Rivers and C-3PO. And it's great. Joan Rivers is amazing, you know. Too bad we lost her recently.
She did pass away recently.
A lot of people have died in this.
Oh, man. That's like, so we went from talking about Star Trek and people have died in Star Trek. Now we're going to space. We can't get away from it, unfortunately.
They're all dying.
But
And on that note,
it's a wedding day, right? So we got Princess Vespa's wedding day on the front of the church, and most importantly on this thing is this bingo tomorrow.
Yeah, bingo tomorrow. Tuesday. Like it's so, sideways too.
Yeah,
and she's marrying
Prince Valium,
who can't stay awake,
can't stop yawning. And as soon as like the priest starts the wedding, she runs out to the getaway vehicle.
Yeah, she doesn't want to get married.
And the priest is like, "We bring this weather today," and she starts running down the hall.
Yeah, no, he gives like a play-by-play, like a sports announcer of her running out the church. And after that, her and her droid companion Dot Matrix, they get into their honeymoon car and they take off. It's not a car; it's actually like a spaceship.
Space car. It's a
space car. Yeah,
it's a Mercedes, right?
Yeah. It's actually a nice space car. I want that space car. And they take off. And she's like, you know, obviously she's cold feet or just doesn't want to get married, period, and she takes off. So, and they're running off.
Spaceball One, their giant ship.
Enormous ship, which you get the full scope in the very beginning.
Yeah, it's like, you know, they took the Star Wars Star Destroyer thing flying over ahead of the beginning of A New Hope, which is only like 15 seconds, and they stretched it out to like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Of like this just giant ship.
And then
ship.
Paired it with Jaws music.
Yeah. Right, and so they get the message that they're supposed to be stealing Planet Druidia's air, but to do that, they got to get the shield down. So what they're going to do is they're going to stop the wedding and kidnap Princess Vespa and hold her ransom till they give them the...
Till the king gets them the code to the heat shield. Once Vespa gets caught in some laser fire, we scoot over to Lone Star, who's like our Luke Skywalker / Han Solo.
Han Solo with his companion Barf.
Barf, played by John Candy.
The late John Candy. Oh, I love John Candy so much.
So good.
Oh, my God. There's nothing that he can do wrong.
Even Home Alone, he didn't.
I was like, yeah, yeah.
Even Home Alone, when he was in it, wasn't that bad.
Oh, man. There's so many John Candy movies I could just spout off that I love his stuff, you know. But, yeah, so he plays Barf.
The Chewbacca, the wannabe character.
Yeah, and he's like a half man, half dog. He's a Mog. He's his own best friend.
His own best friend.
Yeah, right.
His costume had, like, moving ears, which are actually controlled by two different people.
Right.
And then he had, like, a remote control in his hand to, like, make his dog tail move. And this is, like, back in 87.
Right.
So this is the battery pack to make all this work was 30 pounds on his back. Just to make this thing work.
No wonder he died. they get a call from the gangster Pizza the Hut. Was played by Don DeLuise, great comedian as well. Apparently they owe money. Some ridiculous amount.
It's a million space bucks.
Yeah, a million space bucks. And they can't pay it and they don't know what to do. But thankfully after that call ends and they're threatened to basically pizzas.
Gonna send out for them if they don't pay the money.
Yeah. So they get a call from the king of Druidia saying, "Hey, you gotta help my daughter. She's going to be captured by the space balls. You gotta go save her."
And he's like, "Would you do it? Can we give us a million space bucks?"
He's like, a million?
Space? Oh, you're
fading out. You're fading out. Right.
So he's like, "Okay, I'll do it. Anything, just save my daughter."
So they go, and this is where we get to meet Darth, Dark Helmet.
Dark Helmet.
And Dark Helmet wants to know what the progress is and where is Princess Vespa. And this is where they watch Mr. Radar.
Mr. Coffee. What's all this bubbling and churning?
You should play that part. Hold on a second. We're going to take a quick pause to play that part.
What's the matter with this thing? What's all that churning and bubbling? You call that a radar screen?
No, sir. We call it Mr. Coffee. Care for some?
Yes! I always have coffee when I watch radar. You know that.
Of course I do, sir.
Everybody knows that.
Of course we do, sir!
Now that I have my coffee, I'm ready to watch radar. Where is it?
Right here, sir.
Switch to teleview. There it is, Planet Druidia. And underneath the air shield, 10,000 years of fresh air.
So Dark Helmet played by Rick Moranis watching Mr. Radar with
his Mr. Coffee.
Mr. Coffee Coffee. I love that scene. It's so great. So they catch up with Princess Druidia, and they are going to fire a couple shots over the bow. And we have to play this where their chief gunner, Major Asshole, is making the shots.
Princess Vespa spaceship within range, sir.
Good. Fire a warning shot across her nose.
What's going on?
It's either the 4th of July or someone's trying to kill us.
Hey, I don't have to put up with this. I'm rich.
What are you doing?
I'm calling my father. 1-800-DRUIDIA.
Careful, you idiot. I said across her nose, not up it.
Sorry, sir. Doing my best.
Who made that man a gunner?
I did, sir. He's my cousin.
Who is he?
He's an asshole, sir.
I know that. What's his name?
That is his name, sir. Asshole. Major Asshole.
And his cousin?
He's an asshole, too, sir. Gunner's mate, first class, Philip Asshole.
How many assholes we got on this ship, anyhow?
Yo!
I knew it. I'm surrounded by assholes.
Keep firing, assholes!
I love that.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
Well,
something Faith knows very much about.
I empathize with this.
Oh, that's such a great scene.
We're sorry, Faith. We try to be good.
You're the good assholes. It's all right. I still love y'all.
We love you too, Faith.
Well, so they're firing up her nose, and they when Lone Star and Barf come onto the scene, and they jam their radar by firing a giant
thing of jam
onto their radar a dish.
I love how like the humor is very literal. Like it's like I'm gonna jam them.
Yeah, they fire and
only Lone Star would give me the raspberries.
And then they descend a ladder. Somehow Barf can just walk through space and doesn't, you know, the vacuum of space doesn't bother him.
Well, I'm sure that's got a shield around it.
I'm guessing there had to have been some kind of air shield.
It keeps a little bit of atmosphere in it. I don't know.
Like, it was not explained. But anyways,
it's not the Star Trek of science fiction where they had to explain it with lots of technobabble, right?
No. So he climbs down and he tells the princess and Dot that they have to come up and they're there to save him. So they
barf!
Barf!
Not in here, you're not.
So they take off and they go into hyperdrive.
And Rick Moranis is like, what do we have on this, a Cuisinart?
And they decide to go to ludicrous speed. And this is where...
We've never gone that fast!
And he's like, you know, I'm just going to do it anyways, and we got to do it. We got to catch up with
him. Do it now!
And so they go, and he doesn't have his seatbelt on, so Rick Moranis, Darth Helmet, is like literally hanging onto the control console vertically. And then they
stop it.
They overshoot. Stop it they now. Overshoot them. They go way past
They've
them.
Gone to plaid.
And Rick Moranis has a great scene where he flies across the deck of the bridge and smashes into like one of the front, you know, walls or consoles or something there. And it's
like
a great scene.
Yeah, he's just
I love the scene. They're like, "You all right, sir?" And he's all like,
"Can we stop?
Did we stop? We're fine.
5-minute break. Smoke him if you got him."
And then he just falls right over. Oh, my God. It's so great.
I love Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis is amazing.
Such a great, you know, like having such a small man play Dark Helmet.
Who's, oh, it's
you know,
great. Yeah.
After Darth Vader was this tall, menacing man.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome.
Yeah. And Rick Moranis is such a non-imposing person whatsoever. Like, he's literally the geekiest looking guy you could possibly find, you know, with the
big glasses
and
yeah.
everything, you know. It's hilarious.
But the helmet makes it, though.
Oh, God, it's ridiculous.
You went over my helmet?
More around.
Yeah. That's another where he calls the president one of the assholes that he's surrounded with. Calls the president, and he uses the Swartz ring to
instead of choking his neck, he chokes his balls.
He crushes his balls or whatever he does to him. I'm not quite sure.
Baseballs.
But yeah. So anyway. Oh my God! So
it's at the Hollow. We're talking about space balls. Expect balls.
There's going to be a lot of ball reference.
Balls. If you notice, his necktie has like balls. It's like a penis and like balls.
Yeah, it does. sort of a big penis thing going on motif. So Lone Star and Barf, they come out of hyperdrive after they realize they overshot them. But they're out of gas, and then they crash.
Should have bought more than $5 of gas.
And they crash onto a planet not unlike Tatooine. Their Winnebago spaceship crashes, and they have to wander through the desert.
With Her Highness's full set of match luggage.
Match luggage.
Which is like these huge things.
Yeah, pretty ridiculous.
And they go through and they get tired after a day of walking. They get this big one, like Lone Star and Barf have to hold between the two of them. It's like, what's in this thing?
It's a giant.
And it's the giantest hair dryer ever. I told you only to take what you need to survive. It's my hair dryer. And I can't live without it.
I do love that later on, when they camp out the first night, they end up burning all the luggage.
It's on fire
later on. And then the next day they're walking through the desert.
Virgin alarm.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that. They had the virgin alarm.
Lone Star is trying to keeps her warm with his...
With his jacket. With his
jacket.
And his handsome, rugged look kiss.
And he shows her his necklace, which he doesn't ever take off, so she can, pull him near
for
a kiss. And then that matrix starts going off.
The virgin alarm. Virgin alarm. He's like, nope.
I programmed to go off before he does. I think we need one of those for Synthaholics.
I know, right? That
actually wouldn't be that hard for us.
Yeah. It would go off constantly for me.
I can get a buzzer. I can just,
Nope.
Are you gonna be our dot matrix? You should have said you're a dot matrix instead of Faith.
No.
I was gonna pick dot matrix. Anyways, so they
Faith was gonna be Charlene.
Oh, Lord. Are you sure it was Marlene?
Marlene?
No, Marlene, not Charlene.
So they stumble upon
get rescued by Jawas or Dinks.
Dinks, yeah. Dinks. Little Dinks. Dink,
dink, dink, dink, dink, dink,
dink. Oh, God.
Dink, 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 dink.
Surrounded by assholes.
They give them, the Dinks give them water, and they bring them
oil for Dot.
Dot, yeah. And then they...
Oil.
And they go to, and they bring him to Yogurt, who is technically Yoda.
The great and powerful Yogurt. Master of the Schwartz.
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 What's that?
The way they set it up made me really start thinking of Wizard of Oz for some reason.
It did have the Wizard of Oz because all the fire coming out of the statue and everything, and then he just comes out. And it's Mel Brooks playing Yogurt, and he's on his knees, and he's got all the Yoda
masks and stuff
like everything on. It's really good, and he kind of is obviously a Mel Brooks version of Yoda.
Which is great. It's like, what do you do here? Merchandising. We do merchandising. Spaceballs, t-shirt, taste balls, breakfast cereal, Spaceballs, the flamethrower. Kids love this stuff. This is where the money from the movie is made.
Yeah, that's right.
And speaking of where the money of the movie is made, Mel Brooks actually had to go and ask George Lucas's permission to make this movie.
Hmm.
And George Lucas's condition was that he not do any merchandising for the film.
Oh, yeah, there was that part when they woke up in the desert with the Dink Dinks were helping them. They said something about, I feel like I just woke up in, what did we do, wake up in Disneyland?
Yeah.
I thought for a 1987 movie, that was kind of interesting.
Foreshadowing? Maybe they knew something we
unintentional? Because look at where they are now.
They knew all along! It's conspiracy!
It's conspiracy.
We've been bond sold, man!
No, man!
No. Game over!
Game over, man! Game over! Game over! Anyway, I wonder, like, just, you know, like, taking, like, you know, a what-if moment aside from the discussion of the film, what if Mel Brooks went more with Star Trek? You think he would have been able to market it, like, and actually sell, like, merchandise? Because George Lucas is more a toy maker than a movie maker, unfortunately. And so, of course, George Lucas is going to be thinking where the money is made, which is why that joke's in the movie. This is where the money from the movie is made, because George Lucas made so much money from making Star Wars toys. And he didn't let Mel Brooks make money from it. I don't know if he wanted to or not, but not having the option, you know, kind of hurt things, I'm sure.
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. I'm not too certain that Mel Brooks was actually going to do any real merchandising anyways, because he doesn't do it for anything else for his films.
Yeah, but science fiction stuff's really easy to merchandise.
I guess, but, I mean, honestly, I mean, there's a lot of stuff he could have done for different movies that he never did, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it was a huge loss for him, but I just thought, like...
This movie was successful for him. We should look up what the earnings were, but I'm pretty sure that this movie was not an issue where they were, you know...
Well, I'm not saying he was hurting, but I mean, just, like, you know, not having that option, I don't know. It would have been cool to see some, like, Spaceballs merchandise. I would have loved a flamethrower as a child.
Right. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Just make your own. It's
No, but mine doesn't say Spaceballs on the front in the official font.
Okay, so... Right. So, the box office says that it made $38.1 million U.S. only.
Wow.
The budget was $22.7 million. And this is 1987, too.
That's some pretty big money right there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not a huge return. Usually you got to, like, double return to make, like, it worth making a sequel most times.
Yeah, they weren't going to make a sequel. Just like they threatened to make a sequel of History of the World Part 1.
they only tease sequels with his movies. There's never... Yeah, that was never a thing.
Yeah, no, he was never.
That was like the running joke.
Yeah, that was just definitely a joke that he was going to do with that. So
Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it says the film grossed $38 million. It took in $6 million on the opening weekend, finishing behind the movie Dragnet. Remember that movie with Tom Hanks? Man, forgot about that movie.
I'm not sure if I saw it.
You never saw Dragnet?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
Is Dan Aykroyd in it, too?
Dan Aykroyd plays a straight man.
Yeah,
and
I think...
Tom Hanks plays, like, the crazy cop.
I think I've seen part of it. I don't think I've seen the whole thing, though.
We need to watch all of it.
It's pretty funny. I liked it, yeah. But anyways, yeah, so it seemed like it did pretty well for way back when. You know.
Excellent. I don't know. I was just, like, reading up on it, and... just trying to get some backstory on it to kind of throw out some little trivia like we like to do here on Synthaholic. So I just was like, oh, that's an interesting thing, you know, to bring up and talk about a little bit.
Well, here we go. In September 2004, news about a sequel parodying Star Wars prequel trilogy appeared online, followed on to Spaceballs eventually developed into an animated television show, which debuted in September 2008, Spaceballs, the animated series. On G4 and the Canadian Super Channel.
See, I actually...
Of course it would be the Canadians.
Yeah, see, I actually saw part of the Spaceballs animated show, and I didn't like it very much. The first three episodes were basically retelling the movie so Lone Star doesn't get married. But it's a 90-minute... It's like a 96-minute movie, and they cut it over three 22-minute episodes of cartoons. So all the timing of the jokes, which were almost exactly the same for the most part, just fell flat for me because they had to rush it. There was no, like, comedic timing in the cartoon for the retelling of the movie. And then they went on to do some other stuff.
So, and Rick Moranis claimed in an interview that he pitched a potential sequel to Brooks, called Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2.
Yeah, I remember reading that, too.
Oh, my God. And then it says, in February 2015, Brooks said that he would like to make a sequel to be released after the next Star Wars movie in hopes that Rick Moranis would reprise the role from the first film, despite having Rick Moranis being retired from acting. But a sequel with the whole cast is not possible since John Candy, Joan Rivers, and Dick Van Pattern, and Don DeLuise are all dead. So
yeah, they have to get a new cast. So I think they should. And then Rick Moranis took a break from acting because his wife had passed and he needed to raise his kids. But I'm pretty sure his kids are all grown now.
So. I don't think Rick Moranis is pretty old now.
Oh, well, Mel Brooks is even older.
Yeah, true. But anyways, where do we leave off?
Oh, yogurt.
You found yogurt.
The merchandising.
Yogurt teaches Lone Star
the ways of the Schwartz.
The ways of the Schwartz. Gives him one of his rings. Says he has the medallion around his neck.
He'll
says,
tell him what it means later.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Dark Helmet is telling his minions to comb the desert so that they can find their Princess Vespa. And here we get our first real Star Trek cameo.
Yes, we do.
Of the film.
Sir?
What?
Are we being too literal?
No, you fool. We're following orders. We were told to comb the desert, so we're combing it.
Found anything yet? Nothing yet, sir! How about you?
Not a thing, sir!
What about you guys? We ain't found shit!
And that was our lovely Commander Tuvok, Tim Russ. We ain't found shit.
It was quite an early role for him. Yeah, one
hopefully
line.
Tim Russ will come back for Spaceballs 3, The Search for More Spaceballs 2.
Yeah, hopefully he's gone up in ranks since then.
Maybe he'll be the new president.
Yeah, maybe. No, this is it's one of those weird things that you realize after you've seen Voyager and then you watch this again, you're like, oh, wait a second. You know, that's Tuvok. What
that's
the hell?
Tuvok, yeah.
So weird, you know.
Tuvok was in Spaceballs.
And that
that's
is
so awesome.
And honestly, that was probably one of the more funnier lines when they're, because they're dragging, the white guys are dragging the regular comb and the black guys are dragging the pick along the desert.
Pick, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty good. So, yeah, and that's generally a typical Mel Brooks kind of type of joke that he would throw in there, you know.
Yeah, it's good. And, you know, this helps legitimize us talking about Spaceballs, making a Star Trek reference and having an actor from Star Trek appear in this wonderful
movie. This is probably the only movie. And the only other one, obviously, I mean, there's another actor that's in the movie, but they have a Scotty reference called Snotty, who beams the president Spaceballs head backwards.
President Scroob puts his head on backwards.
Yeah.
Puts his head, you know, head on facing his ass. Like, why didn't he even tell me my butt was so big?
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah. But yeah, we have a and the great part of that scene was obviously that the headquarters or office where he was getting beamed to was the next room.
It was the next room. I was like stop it. I'll just walk.
There's no point to even do that, you know. It was so silly. But anyways, Dark Helmet disguises himself with a Schwartz to look like Princess Vespa's father and lures her during the night out saying that, you know, he's there to help her. And then all of a sudden she realizes it's not him and she faints or whatever and they run off with her. And they find out seconds later that the Spaceballs have captured Princess Vespa.
And so Lone Star has to go out on a quest to Spaceball City and to rescue her.
Right, and then they threaten Princess Vespa's father, the king, that they're going to give her the original nose, which is a...
It looks like a witch. Oh, it's like sticks out two inches
from
her face.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going to give her a nose job. It's like, what do you mean? She got one for a sweet 16.
And then she...
It's like, oh, you don't understand. We're going to give her her old nose back.
Like, do your worst.
And he's like, no, I'll tell you.
Right.
The combination of the air shield is 1, 2... 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? That's what like some idiot would have on their luggage.
Which the president's group actually had on his luggage.
It's like, that's amazing. That's the same combination on my luggage.
Yeah. So they are going to go over to Planet Druidia and suck out.
He's like, oh, we don't need you anymore. And they turn off the screen. And right. they turn off the entire movie. And the whole screen goes black.
Right.
And then when the screen comes back on, the plastic surgeon is making out with this nurse.
Right. Right. And the nurse...
The nurse has got a great pair, and the nurse is played by Brenda Strong, who played in an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation when the bow breaks as Rachella.
Right, right.
So this is our second Star Trek.
Right, what we talked about, and yeah. And apparently she was in Twin Peaks, which I had no idea.
She's also in two episodes of Twin Peaks.
Four episodes
of Twin Peaks, and Aaron is our Twin Peaks guru. I didn't even know she was there.
I'm going back, and I'm going to be watching this, and I'll have to report back.
He'll keep us updated.
I'll report on this urgent matter that everyone needs to know.
That the hot nurse from Spaceballs and Rachella from When the Bell Breaks was also in your other favorite show.
She plays Jones.
Jones.
Jones?
What a great, not quite female sounding name.
It's Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Maybe it's the last name.
Yeah. And so they take off with Spaceball 1 and they're going to go vacuum out. Oh, wait. Before we got to go back. Lone Star and Barf go to save Princess Vespa.
Oh, yeah. From Spaceball City. Yeah. And
we have the whole kind of like Death Star rescue of Princess Leia. Going on, where they break into the detention center. Oh, and there's a great scene. Princess Vespa sitting there and going, nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
and it's like, that can't be her. And then Barf's like, she's a base.
I love that scene. It's so funny. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. I've actually sang that just like that so many times. Just like Princess Vespa.
Because of Princess Vespa.
Yeah.
And then like one of my favorite parts of the movie, like they get surrounded by all these guys and there's a door getting ready to shut. And instead of doing the Geordi LaForge roll, they have to do a jump and then roll.
Right.
And then they're like, this general comes in. He's like, I have got you captured. Then he looks and he's like horrified because they're stunt doubles.
Right.
Princess Vespa's a dude with a cigar and a Hitler mustache.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
And the scary thing is it does look like Princess Vespa from behind.
Behind. Right. Yeah, yeah.
No one else looks like they do from behind, but Princess Vespa does, and it's the worst looking from the front. Oh, my gosh.
That is great. Right. But, so they escape. Princess Vespa blows away almost all the guards.
Because they shoot her hair.
Yeah.
You shot my hair!
And she kills all the guards. He's like, yeah, that was pretty good for the first time.
Pretty good for a girl. And Dot Matrix is like, that's pretty good for Rambo.
Anyway, so they take off in their Winnebago. And meantime, Spaceball 1, the spaceship, is off to vacuum out the atmosphere from Druidia. Which I would think they would have changed the combination. In between,
they had a little bit of time.
Between that, there was a little bit of hole there, but the Spaceball 1 transforms into
Mega Maid,
who basically looks like the Statue of Liberty with a vacuum cleaner, which is pretty damn funny.
And then Lone Star shows up, and Barf suggests that he use his Schwartz ring to save the planet, because King Roland is passed out on his desk from lack of oxygen. And then Colonel Sanders reports a very important fact once it has been reversed.
Helmet, what's going on?
Sanders, what's going on?
It's Mega Maid.
She's gone from suck to blow.
Oh, that's great.
He's gone from suck to blow. Is that Mega Maid?
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
Mega Maid with happy endings.
Well, she... Oh, my God. So, only in my dreams, make it with a giant robot.
Bender would love that. Bite my shiny metal ass.
Bite my shiny... Yeah, so, they basically destroy Mega Maid in the end.
Yeah, they go in. He fights the self-destruct sequence.
Yes.
He Vulcan neck pinches a couple guards.
Right.
Has a Schwartz. He gets his Schwartz tied up with a...
with dark helmets.
Dark helmets.
Yes, basically. Like, your Schwartz is stuck. Yeah, and...
I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
Oh, wait, we got to do the greatest line ever. I'm your brother's father's...
former roommate.
Pull that up. That's awesome.
Before you die, there is something you should know about us, Lone Star.
What?
I am your father's brother's nephew's cousin's former roommate.
What's that make us?
Absolutely nothing. Which is what you are about to become.
Oh, that line is great. Oh, it's such a great line. Obviously doing a play on...
I am your father. Your cousin's nephew's niece's former roommate.
Yes. So they fight and that then they escape after the Mega Maid blows up.
They hit the self destruct on Mega Maid. It makes it blow up, and the head of the Mega Maid. Everyone evacuates except for Scroob, Sanders, and Dark Helmet.
Right.
And the head lands on this planet along with the hand holding the
torch.
The part of the vacuum cleaner.
Vacuum cleaner, yeah.
And then a couple of the apes ride up. It's like, oh no, there goes the planet.
Yeah. Spaceballs.
I love that scene.
I love that scene so much. And Princess Vespa has returned back home.
Almost gets married to Prince Valium.
She's gonna get married to Prince Valium. In the meantime, Lone Star and Barf are...
at a diner, getting some food before they go on their next adventure.
Which we gotta...
Barf orders a special, which he probably shouldn't have.
And they've run into a strange familiar face.
What? So, we were lost. None of us knew where we were. And then Harry began feeling around on all the trees. And he said,
I've got it.
We are Pluto. And we said, Harry, how can you tell? He said, from the bark, you dummies. From the bark.
Is he all right?
Yeah, the cat did to me. Hey, what's wrong with this guy?
I don't know.
Bring him some water! Water my ass! Bring this guy some Pepto-Bismol! Waitress! What did he order?
Oh, he had a special.
That's what I ordered! I changed my order to the soup!
Good move.
Oh, no. Not again.
My heart's on fire. If you refuse me, honey, you'll lose me. Then you'll be left alone. Oh, baby, telephone and tell me I'm your own.
I love that.
The alien singing and dancing on the table.
It's actually a throwback to an old Looney Tunes
Bullfrog
that does the singing. Yeah, with the guy can only hear him when he's singing. Oh my god, it's so funny! I love that so much. Oh my god, I could watch that scene over and over again.
It's just so random. The alien from Aliens bust out of John Hurt's chest just like he did in Alien, and then starts singing and dancing. Aaron is crying right now. He's laughing so hard.
So funny. Oh my god. Anyways,
Barf gets hungry in the as they didn't get any food from the diner because it was going to make them burst an alien.
Obviously had something and, wrong with the food.
Yeah. So Lone Star's like, "Yeah, I got this fortune cookie from yogurt." And they open it and it turns out that Lone Star is an honest to god prince.
Who knew?
Who knew? Yogurt did, but didn't decide to tell him until
Yeah, didn't
now.
Tell him until later, yeah.
So he goes back, and he's got some liquid Schwartz to like, it's basically like some NOS.
Right.
For his Winnebago.
To make him go really fast.
Space drifting.
Right.
Space Star Tracks or whatever it is.
And they basically do the whole interrupt the wedding for Princess Vespa.
And we learn Barf's full name. It's like, Barf, your full name, Bartholomew. As a kid, I thought that was like the best joke ever.
What? Why?
I wanted a friend named Bartholomew so I could call him Barf. I never had a friend named Bartholomew.
I've never known anybody named Bartholomew.
I've always wanted to know someone so I can just call them Barf.
Never once met one person.
How about you, Faith? Did you ever know Bartholomew?
I did. I actually had one in fifth grade.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was there for like 8 months, but yeah, no, it's...
Did you ever call him Barf?
Damn. I didn't even know what Spaceballs was yet. So.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh, man.
Looking back on it, it is such a missed opportunity.
You've squandered your life.
In so many ways, we do not have enough showtime to even begin to cover that subject. Like, not even close.
Next up on Synthaholics, a multi-part series on how Faith has squandered her life.
Oh,
you'll hear it here first.
Followed by Aaron.
Yeah, I could top a couple things, I'm sure.
Oh, Aaron's been alive longer. So
yeah.
He's got more things to talk about.
Right? Yeah. He's had more chances to screw up than me.
Oh, man.
Like his girlfriend. Mine's three, his is six.
The list is long.
Like his girlfriend from Okinawa.
No, she was happy about that. They're all happy. They're all happy once I'm gone. So they get married, and that's the end of the movie.
Yes.
It's a feel-good movie in the end.
Although the sign doesn't say anything about bingo the next day, so that's disappointing at the end.
It only happened right after that.
No. It wasn't on the wedding chapter.
There's a couple days in between. I mean, they were stuck on that planet for a while, you know, just walking the desert.
But that means it's not weekly, right? If it's not on the board again.
That's a good point. I don't know.
You're assuming they have enough money to finance a weekly game. I mean, really. I mean, yeah, it's probably just a once a month sort of thing.
He had a million space bucks to give, and he didn't even give it to him. So
they were bankrupt after that.
No, he didn't. He didn't give him the million space bucks. Oh, no, yeah. He only gave him 250 so they could get some food and some gas.
Right, that's right.
Because Pete's the Hutt died. He ate himself to death after becoming stuck in locked himself in his own limo.
Right. Which...
So they didn't have to, they didn't need to collect the full million space bucks.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Thank you for small favors, or large ones in this case.
Pete's the Hutt must have been really delicious if he ate himself to death.
I mean, Pete's the Hutt is literally...
So many jokes.
He's just so a pile many of jokes pizza. There. A gaping mouth and his tongue. And
I mean, it's such the grossest picture you ever
He's like
seen.
Bubbling and like, yeah. It's like he's cooking while he's like being alive.
Yeah, it's like hot pizza. Just...
And Vinny was licking him and eating pepperoni.
Yeah. Oh my God. But it's,
you're talking about being eaten to death and then start talking about licking stuff. I'm sorry. That just, no, it doesn't come across very well.
I know. We're talking about other things, I guess.
Right?
He is kind of phallic shaped.
I'm sorry.
He's a giant
talking about licking
pizza.
And eating alive. What's going on here? But Piece of the Hut.
You went over my helmet?
You went over my helmet? Oh, shape like your helmet's so big.
It's
so big.
Oh, I love you. Yes. That whole scene where Rick Moranis was playing with his toys was a complete ad-lib by Rick Moranis. It was not scripted.
Really?
Yeah.
You should play that. but that is a great scene right there. Them going, you know, going, yes, no, yes, no, yes.
So, Princess Vespa, at last I have you in my clutches to have my way with you the way I want to.
No, please, leave me alone.
No, you are mine. Not so fast, Helmet. Lone Star.
Yes, it's me. I'm here to save my girlfriend. Hi, honey.
Now you are going to die.
Psst. Oh. Hey, what'd you do to my friend?
The same thing I'm going to do to you, big boy. Oh, and you too.
Oh.
Now, Princess Vespa, At last, we are alone.
Oh, no, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, leave me alone. Yet, I find you strangely attractive.
Of course you do. Druish princesses are often attracted to money and power, and I have both, and you know it.
Oh, leave me alone.
No, kiss me.
No, no, yes, no.
No.
Yes, no, yes. Oh, 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 your helmet is so big.
Lord Helmet, what? You need it on the bridge, sir.
Knock on my door. Knock next time.
Yes, sir.
Did you see anything?
No, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Good.
Yes, sir. I didn't see you playing with your dolls again.
Your helmet is so big.
Yes, no, yes,
no,
yes,
no, yes.
Oh, my God.
It was completely ad-lib by Rick Moranis. It's genius.
It's so good. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's another tie-in that I absolutely adore, which a lot of people don't know, especially probably not if you didn't come live in the Buffalo area, is that Rick Moranis and John Candy, Eugene Levy, all these, you know, Catherine O'Hara, all came from SCTV or Second City TV that was broadcast out of Toronto, and we would get some of the Canadian stations that would come over.
Cool.
Yeah, this was back when cable was just starting, so he still had the rabbit ears, and they have. Not everything's going to be great, but I mean, there are some skits that were so goddamn funny. Like, you just couldn't stop. I mean, I could still tell, just go on and on about all their stuff. Well, Rick Moranis did the two brothers, I'm thinking Schmiggy Brothers, that's John Candy, it's the wrong one. The guys who go, you know, hey man, want to have a beer, eh? Remember those guys? Those two, the Great Northern. What the hell are they called? I'm killing myself. I can't remember it.
Blanking.
I'm totally blanking. But I mean, that's another great. I mean, just their whole comedy troupe. I mean, think of like, you know, a Monty Python type of troupe.
All these
actors and actresses, comedians are just so funny. I mean. They're just all of them are so great, and they all came from that. So, anyways, they would broadcast, and I'd watch them. You can actually YouTube a lot of them, and they're just absolutely hilarious. Like Eugene Levy, who played the dad in the movie American Pie.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He was in that, and he plays Perry Cuomo sings all the like the hits or something like that, and it's the funniest thing is like, you know, because Perry Cuomo is like really. Slow and stuff like that. Anyways, it's just the funniest thing.
So, Faith, you said you hadn't seen the movie in like 10 years off air. So what did you think going back into this after such a long time?
Well, I mean, definitely change in perspective and understanding the concept of some of the humor in that. Like, but it's... I don't know. It was a lot more interesting than it was for me with the time span, at least. Still not quite one of my favorites, though.
Sorry we made you watch it then.
I was a good sport. And I do enjoy it. It's just it's not on the top of my list. It was definitely a lot more fun than it used to be to watch.
It's more very juvenile humor compared to some other stuff that they've done. I mean... Mel Brooks is always a little bit juvenile no matter what.
Always.
Yeah, but some of his movies are more juvenile than others. And anyways, but this one has a lot of more, like, you know, childish jokes. But, I mean, it's still great. You know, I still like it. I mean,
I actually enjoyed. I'm, like, extremely picky about the types of comedy that I watch. Like, I hate train wreck humor. Like, I can't. No, it's if people are acting stupid just to be stupid, it's horrible for me to watch. But this, it's clever. And it's witty. And it's people obviously enjoying what they're doing. So, for me, that makes it entertaining and fun.
Yeah, and they're
like,
all...
I like Mel Brooks movies, but...
Yeah, and they're all really good.
It's
got to
be special.
They're all really good.
Yeah.
Everyone's on there who's really good at what they do, so it's not like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, Bill Pullman, I don't think I've seen him in any other comedies, personally. I mean,
he was in one with Ellen DeGeneres a long time ago. Oh, my God. It's so weird. He plays a says they fall in love, but then she breaks up with him. This is before she came out, obviously. Yeah. And then he ends up being her stalker and stuff like that. I can't remember the name of that movie. But
yeah, I don't know. I'm more familiar with him like from Independence Day and stuff like that, where he plays more like a, you know.
Yeah, no, he definitely plays
like
a lot
regular.
Yeah, he plays more of a straight man or maybe not quite leading actor, but, you know, in that kind of role. But he definitely did a little comedy here and there. You know,
but you know, John Candy, Rick Moranis, you know, and Mel Brooks himself, of course, definitely known for comedy,
right? Joan Rivers,
Joan Rivers, yeah.
Dom DeLuise is also, you know, just amazing. So,
yeah, this has been a favorite of mine since I was a child. I don't know if it was because it was taboo and I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a kid.
That might be part of it.
It's been such a big thing, but I mean, I love the movie.
It was definitely like in my, you know, group of friends and stuff like that. This was like the movie to joke around about and everything. I mean, most of the Mel Brooks movies were, but this was like definitely one of the top ones, just because we had such a love for Star Trek and such a love for
Star Wars
and sci-fi and everything.
Alien.
So, yeah, so it was just like the jokes were all great. So as kids, we were always making little jokes, and you know, especially you know when we're making references to anything, we would throw those in there. You know,
like. This is probably the comedy I was most enamored with until I saw The Holy Grail finally. And The Holy Grail is just so quotable. Like,
oh, yeah.
She turned me into a newt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well,
I got better. So, I mean, like, it's just Monty Python's so very quotable. And, like, I was obsessed with The Holy Grail after that. I set my whole computer up to play Monty Python sounds, like an AOL, you know, you've got mail. I got the. You message for you, sir. After he gets stuck in the chest with the arrow with a message on it, and whenever my computer turned on, it would go Camelot, Camelot, Camelot. It's only a model.
Right.
Like I had the sound for everything that was related to the movie.
Right.
It was so relatable to my like child life. Like I laughed so hard at them.
Did you grow up in Arthurian times? I mean, how was that relatable?
It's just the funny things they said in the movie. I could relate them to different sounds of the computer. Like whenever
find the sound, the sound bits you could do things with.
Yeah, like when Windows would go with critical error and go ding, and I switched to knee.
Gotcha.
I was such a dork.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. I mean, this is definitely, you know, growing up was definitely a movie for comedy that we watched all the time. Like, this is just something that was always there. And we'd be like, you know, back in the day, pop in the VHS, start and watch it or whatever. So
yeah, I've got the DVD. It's so old it doesn't even have an English subtitle track on it.
Right. Actually, I might as well mention it here since, you know, if you're interested in buying it, I bought Blu-ray at Target for like $8, and I got in it. I got not just the Blu-ray, but I also got a bunch of
nine bumper stickers and
a bunch of postcards showing kind of like the behind the scenes and everything.
They got the I Love Uranus that's on Lone Star's Winnebago's bumper. That's
right,
awesome.
No, it's awesome. So if you are interested, if you know, run into the Target, you know, you might have to look, because I definitely was looking around for it, but it was there. And like I said, it was like $8 or something like that. So I mean, like, can't go wrong, you know.
That's way cheaper than digital. I was looking to buy it on digital. It's $12.99 to buy digital on Amazon and PlayStation and store. Like it was like expensive. Like I'd rather go spend $8 and get the stickers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm
like,
have to go look for that.
It's amazing. So. Anyways, but this is just one of those great movies that you can't, if you haven't seen it, you need to go see it. You need to go to Target and buy it because you will enjoy it, especially if you're listening to this podcast.
And hopefully you'll like the sound clips from it and that they'll made you laugh a little bit so you can like go out and see the thing. And
oh, it's just all great.
It's definitely worth checking out. It may not be your favorite comedy ever, but it's definitely worth somewhere on your comedy list.
Yeah, I love it. And Mel Brooks is just such a comedy genius. I mean, there's only been a few movies I don't like of his, so.
Yeah.
You know.
It's hard to not like his movies because he is just, he reaches everybody with his type of humor. So, I mean, everybody can typically find something that they enjoy out of it. Even me.
Yeah. Even Faith finds things that he does funny.
She even finds things that we do funny, Aaron.
I know. It's hard to believe.
You know, it's
Faith, easily entertained. It's okay.
What would be one of your favorite?
Oh, so you're saying we're not quality since you're so easily entertained? Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, I do come back to you guys often enough, so you have to be quality entertainment.
What did you say was your favorite Mel Brooks movie?
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles.
Hands down, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, that's a great movie, too. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One of my favorite scenes from, well, there's a lot I have from that, but where Gene Wilder's in jail drinking, and the sheriff says to him, says, a man drink like that and doesn't eat, he is going to die. And Gene Wilder goes, when? I love it. Oh man, there's so many good jokes about that one. But anyways,
I love Robin Hood Men in Tights. You get the reappearance of It's Good to Be King from whenever Patrick Stewart. Yes, another Star Trek reference. Patrick Stewart is the king, and he comes and gets the first kiss from the wife, and then Mel Brooks leans in and is like, "It's good being a king."
Well, he actually, but that was a reference.
More of those than we realize in Mel Brooks movies.
Well, yeah, but he did that. The reference
History of the World.
History of the World was the whole. Yeah. It's good to be king.
Yeah, you know? It's good being the king. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. That's that's great. You know, Men in Tights, I like, but I don't think it was my favorite. Because I remember when it came out too. I remember seeing it in the theaters, and I mean, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of parts that were funny. Did that come after the Robin Hood movie with Kevin Costner?
It did, because one of the jokes is like, unlike other Robin Hoods, I can speak with a British accent.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was Robin of Locksley and Bigel.
There were a couple of Robin Hood movies that had come out before that one had, so that was how they came about with that joke. Because there's the major Robin Hood that everybody knows, and then like the TV show and all this other stuff that came out.
Yeah, and I forgot about that movie. I hadn't thought about the Kevin Costner one in a while.
I've got a chastity belt.
Yeah.
It was
a good one, though.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because that was so popular when that came out, the Kevin Costner Robin Hood movie. Yeah. And it was like,
mm-hmm. I don't think I ever saw it, though.
It's not bad. And looking back, I probably...
Yeah, give it a chance.
I think I would like really like it, but but it was so overdone at the time. I kind of got like, you know, as a teenager or whatever, however old I was, it was like everybody liked it. So, and I was like, you know, kind of things.
Might as well be the person that goes against the grain there on that one.
Yeah. And that's what, but I mean, looking back at it, it was actually a really good movie, for what it was.
It's like me in Spaceballs. Everybody was like all into it. I'm like, I'm not sure what you're seeing here.
I don't know. I really liked Men in Tights because I guess it was another thing. I was a kid and I was at my grandma's house and she had HBO and it literally came on like every other hour on HBO. Like it would be on, then it'd be another movie, then it'd be Robin Hood Men in Tights again. I would just watch it over and over again. I loved Blinken and Dave Chappelle.
I think I watched it too much for me.
Yeah, I watched it a bunch, too, but I still think it's funny. Abe Lincoln? No, I said, hey, Blinken.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, oh, why have you grown boobs? He's, like, peeling up the statue. It's so good. Like, he's like, I'm over here, Blinken.
I know. Oh, man. I still love... I still love the Young Frankenstein, though. That is my top comedy movie.
That was a really good one, too.
Oh, my God. There's so many great scenes with that. It's just amazing.
My top comedy ever has got to be The Holy Grail still, though.
Well, mine's up there. It's up there as well. I don't know if I can ever rank one top comedy, but Holy Grail, Big Lebowski.
I have to rate The Holy Grail as the highest because after the Black Knight scene where he gets his arms and legs chopped off, at that point I was crying so hard. I was laughing so hard I was crying. And then the chanting monks come on and they beat their heads with the thing. It's like I've never hurt so bad from laughing ever. So
that's definitely one to like. How old were you when you saw that?
I was probably like 12 or 13. So like it was just that childish humor and like just it's just so ridiculous.
That's a
like,
perfect like, age to see it. Like you need to see most of these things. You have to see like probably around that age, like 12, 13 years old.
Yeah, I've never laughed so hard ever again at anything. So Monty Python, just because I guess I saw it at the perfect age.
Right.
Like nothing has been that funny to me ever. And like, remembering how bad my ribs hurt, I couldn't like stop laughing.
Right, yeah. No, there's certain movies that you should see at a certain age, you know, and I think, you know, that would be one of them.
Be a good parent. Show your kids the Holy Grail when they're 13.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. It's got everything right there.
And it's English humor, though. So, I mean, it's not inappropriate. It's just very blunt.
Well, I mean, the only thing is Castle Anthrax.
Anthrax. That's a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, in higher definition, their clothes is a little bit more see-through than it was on, like, standard definition.
Right.
And then they talk about sex a lot in that one. So, I mean, that's kind of why.
But you kind of like, they do it so fast with the British accents, I think you'd lose a lot of it unless you've watched it over and over
you
again.
You do. Exotic underwear. You have to pay a lot of, like, close attention. And honestly, you got to remember, kids aren't getting the humor on the level that we as adults are blushing and going, did they just say that?
Yeah.
You know, kids are like, speaking something completely different.
Right,
you know,
right,
I mean, they're not getting it like we do.
Right, exactly.
Bet you're gay.
I bet you're gay.
No, not.
But, yeah, so, yeah, there's, I don't know, I guess we could go on and on forever for comedy movies that we love.
But, yes.
Yeah, mine are pretty much some select Mel Brooks and Monty Python. That's it. That's pretty much it for me.
Yeah, I don't know. I
told you guys, I'm very selective in my humor.
I, you know, like I was saying,
and
I,
us.
I love Big Lebowski. I didn't get Big Lebowski the first time I watched it, but the second time I watched it, I laughed so hard I couldn't believe. Just all of the deliveries and reactions and everything, it was just like, oh my god, I couldn't believe that everything was so spot on with the comedy.
I need to watch the Big Lebowski with someone who really likes it, because I only watched it with my girlfriend, and she didn't think it was very funny, and so I had a hard time, like, getting into it.
That kills it for you, because then you got somebody fidgeting next to you that's not really paying any attention.
Because everyone says how funny it is, and I've seen it twice. I think I watched it once by myself, and I didn't think it was that funny the first time I watched it. Then the second time, I think I laughed a little bit more the second time, but I wasn't getting as into it because the person I was watching it with.
Yeah, I watched it with my,
like, she liked it that much.
I watched it with my cousin, and he said, this is my favorite movie, and I was like, okay, you know, and then I watched it, I was like, I didn't get anything. I just really didn't get it, you know, and I was just like, I mean, there's little parts I chuckled at, but then the second time I saw it, I just couldn't stop laughing at all the absurd little things, you know.
Well, like, man, that's your opinion.
Oh, my God. I could go on.
You know, we should get together and just all three, the three of us just sit and watch that together.
Oh, my
and
God.
And just see if it, you know, changes our perspective watching it. And it would give us, you know,
I think
do some commentary.
That'd be fun.
I think we should sooner or later do a Big Lebowski commentary or something. But it's so goofy, so, you know.
Us, a little bit of Synthahol.
Yeah.
It'll get a whole lot goofier.
Nothing to do with this.
Watch you get drunk. Ooh, that'll be fun. But yeah, this is our take on doing a little bit something different, guys. Doing a little bit of Spaceballs. Hope you guys like this episode.
Yeah.
We hope Synthaholics has not gone before.
Yes.
You know, it's a Star Trek mantra. Do, you know, the exploring the unknown.
To boldly go where no Star Trek podcast has gone before. Well, and we just want to mix it up a little bit. Dave mentioned a long time ago that he'd like to do something like this, you know, just throw a little monkey wrench in the gears and see what happens.
Yeah, see what happens. See if you guys like it.
Get hate mail.
You know, email us at synthaholics@yahoo.com. Let us know if you like this or not.
Yeah. Yeah, tell us what you think about it.
Yeah, or if you didn't like it, maybe most importantly. Oh, I think...
Be vocal.
I think we do have a new email.
Wow.
Two in a row, right?
People are writing.
That is special.
All right. this is about Star Trek, the future of Star Trek Part Deux, new series 2017, from Ultra Woman. She writes.
I like that name.
Yeah, Ultra Woman. I think that's the kind of listener we want.
That's the kind of girlfriend I want. Ultra Woman.
Giggity.
Oh, Ultra Woman.
Are you going to send us a picture, Ultra Woman?
All right.
Let's read the email.
All right.
You're excited. That's how we scare him
off,
all right?
Yeah, we're not. She's like, stop listening already. Like, she's like, oh, they're going to read my email now. It's like, oh, wait, no, maybe the creepy.
Oh, my God, they have my email.
What a bunch of assholes.
What did I do?
Okay.
I'm surrounded by assholes.
I am surrounded by assholes.
Okay.
I love Uranus.
Ultra Woman's?
Read the goddamn email.
David said it. Well, you guys would be quiet, I could read the email. All right.
You made him nervous.
Ultra Woman writes, show it to us on November 9th. So sorry we're taking a little bit getting back to you. But she writes, great show. I want to see more of various Federation worlds. I want to go to Vulcan and look through their drawers. I think she takes after us a little bit.
Like, that sounds like a lot of... When are we doing this?
She wants to look through their drawers. She wants to eat the food and drive around. And she writes, they contradict what came before. As of January 2017 is a long way off. I wonder if they made this announcement to get people talking about it. I wonder if this will be like the Trek series they were going to put out in the 70s that actually became Star Trek the Motion Picture. I hope not.
Well, the one in the 70s was like it sounded
Star Trek Phase 2.
It sounded like a train wreck.
Like, you know, with Ilea being a main character and mm-hmm. Decker being a main character and Spock basically being written off and having a new Vulcan. I really hope they don't go that route.
Right.
She goes, I can't imagine them having the budget for a diverse non-human crew. They will not have the budget. She says they will not have the budget to have a non-human crew wandering on the ship corridors. They did have a chef on TOS. The character was voiced by Gene Roddenberry himself.
I don't remember a chef.
What episode was that, Ultra Woman? And then she also says at the very end, I very much like the idea of a Trill captain whose host is killed and finds himself in the body of an ensign. That would open up unlimited possibilities.
Whose idea? Was that your idea or
that was
Faith's?
My idea.
You can take credit for that.
So thank you, Ultra Woman.
You can take credit for that.
I'm glad you enjoyed my idea. And she also...
He's going to have his moments.
Yeah.
Oh,
they're brief, but...
Thank you. Thank you, Faith. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Aaron.
It's brief. It's like a supernova.
Thank you. Brief moments from Dave Duncan.
It's like they're brief, but they're super
Quick, take
bright.
A picture.
They're super, super bright. That's what the flash is from, the supernova camera.
It really isn't a whiteout on your lens. It's just that glaringly bright moment of, yeah, insight.
Okay, but you know, but Faith, she also says she likes the idea of a Vulcan lady captain as well. So she likes Ooh. Both of our ideas and nothing from Aaron.
Yeah,
so.
I get kicked to the curb. But I did like your name, Ultra Woman.
So hopefully that'll
earn all the love for Aaron, but lots of love from him.
Like, like all the women in my life. I throw out love and I get none in return.
Crushed to the neck.
Maybe we should read the emails all the way through before you decide if you like them or not.
You do these surprise attacks on emails. Oh, we got an email.
Thank you so much for writing us, Ultra Woman. It's great to hear from our listeners, and I'm glad you liked our ideas. And thank you for one-upping us on Gene Roddenberry voicing a character from.
I gotta look into it. Like, I don't know. I mean, I've watched all the TOS. I just don't remember a chef. Offhand, man.
I don't remember what episode is that.
Aaron will now
right
be
us,
busy with Google between right. Twin Peaks and this.
Oh, I'm going to be doing Twin Peaks.
Aaron's brain's going to go. Aah!
My wife's going to hate me because I'm just going to be like, oh,
Twin Peaks. Although you got to watch the entire TOS. I guess you can skip Galileo 7. I don't think that happens in Galileo.
There's no chefs in Galileo 7. Yeah.
Yes, thank you so much for writing us.
Yeah, thank you.
We love getting emails and love reading them on the air and talking about them. So,
yeah, write about your experience in Spaceballs, what you love, what maybe other Mel Brooks or any other movies like that, parody movies that you like. That would be awesome to hear from, too. So that's great. Man, Ultra Woman.
Ultra Woman.
Man, I want to meet Ultra Woman.
Poor Aaron is mine, dude.
It sounds like it snapped. It seems like Wonder Woman, but then Ultraman, and then combined, it seems so.
Oh, I know.
Fantastic.
It is badass. It's absolutely epic.
It does sound awesome.
I mean, I have a visual image in my head, and it just looks amazing. I just think this needs.
Is she a cosplayer?
This needs to happen. This needs to happen, Faith.
Yeah, Ultra Woman. Come on. Do you cosplay Ultra Woman? Is she your own character? I don't know. Like.
Yeah, let's see some sketches.
At the very least, let us know how you came up with a name so that poor Aaron can have some sort of rest.
I'm going to be up all night thinking about you. I don't even know what you look like.
He'll come up with something good in his mind.
I got to... Well, let's not go that far. I wasn't going to go that far.
That's okay. We did it for you.
Yeah.
We got your back, buddy. It's all right.
Now I know what I'll be doing tonight.
This is just a preview.
You only just figured this out between Google and that.
This is just a preview. It's hard to believe.
There's no Ultraman parody porn out there, I don't think so.
No, no. If there's, if you just said it, there's something out there. You just have to look for it.
What are you talking about?
I should make my own?
Yeah.
Yeah, just make your own,
man.
We can
sell it at our table.
If there's nothing out there, make your own.
At the Comic-Con.
You have a corner on the franchise.
I guess I would.
we get the safe for Comic-Con prints out front. It's like, hey, we got some extra prints.
Yeah, we bring them.
Aaron's new side job.
We'll bring them under the table, and we'll have like all these like
a flashlight.
No. See, what you do is you put stickers strategically on the image so that you hide the parts you don't want people to see, and then you can still sort of see them.
But we gotta like lure them under the table, and then they come in, and it's gotta smell like feet. An ass under there for some reason, but then you have with a flashlight you find it, and there's the Ultraman comic parodies of porno comic or
just,
whatever.
Just put a sign out front that says "free boobs." People will show up and want to look.
We gotta charge for them, right?
Oh yeah. You can't just print that shit.
You can lie to them. It's okay. Just say free boobs. Okay. They should.
I don't know how
you're looking
this
for the traffic, wanting people to show interest.
I don't know how we got this lost.
We're Synthaholics. It doesn't matter.
It's Synthaholics, man. It's where we go.
It just
we're
happens.
In familiar territory
this
for
is,
us.
This is not
we
new.
We know these grounds.
This is not new.
No, this is not new. This is normal. We didn't go here. Something wrong.
Oh, something's wrong.
It's just a tribute.
Wait, I haven't stopped you guys yet. I guess there is something wrong.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, what's going on here?
You're
encouraging this. It's getting worse and worse.
I know.
That's what you're here for. Where's the brakes?
I just like the idea of like a pornographic tent underneath our table.
We need to get tables that are bigger than like 2.5 feet tall, though.
Where did Aaron go? He's under the table.
He's under the table. He hasn't been out all day.
Where's my Gatorade? I need something to drink.
I'm just thirsty. I need something to lubricate.
All you have to do is put trays of lube and Gatorade underneath the table.
There you go. We'll probably have most of the con under the table by that point.
Hey, we'll get more traffic this next year then.
We will.
Woo.
So pornographic comics, that's where it's at.
Man. Oh, so yeah, speaking of Comic-Con, to those of you who are listening who I recorded at Comic-Con, I haven't had time to go through that yet. It's been a crazy month.
Aaron, you need to beat him.
Well, I guess. That's the other
Until
thing.
Until morale improves.
Not that kind of beating. You're not getting that.
It is not the Alamo.
No. My name may be O'Brien, but...
My name's not Bashir, it's That's Duncan, right. So
yeah,
stay go. Away.
Stay away. Yeah, put a wig on you and take real good care of you.
No!
You're going to be real taken care of.
Oh, wow.
Check, please.
I need a very stiff drink after this.
You're supposed to be drinking during this, Faith.
Yeah. You should be drunk.
It's not sufficient. It's not helping matters.
This isn't helping. I'm not drunk enough for this.
It's so shit.
Just wait till you actually come out here and hang out with us. It's going to be so much worse. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so much worse, he said.
I mean, 3 bottles of rum, not just one.
Oof. We're going to
need... Then everybody can have their own straw.
There you go.
We should. I need to email Darren Benjamin the Trekcast podcast and ask him how to make a warp core breach for whenever you guys are down here.
Oh, cool!
If he'll give me out the recipe. He used to be a bartender at the Star Trek Experience in Las Vegas when that was a thing.
That's awesome. That's cool. Ooh. Warp core breach. I wonder if you can look that up.
I've tried. I haven't been able to find it. I need to ask him if he's got the right. He'll share the recipe with me.
Cool. Very cool.
Well, yeah. You can find us at synthaholics.com. Warp 11 provides our music usually.
You can follow us on Twitter.
You can follow them at Warp11, and they're at warp11.com. We're on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo. I am at David_J_Duncan.
I am at Blackbird2004.
And I'm at Faith Hertzberg.
You can write a review. That would be amazing. On iTunes, you can say how much you love us. You love and star us many times.
Star us many times. Many moons.
We need the love.
We need the love to help our ratings review. We also encourage people to go out and prophesize in our name, Synthaholics, our Lord and Savior, Synthaholic. Get out there.
We also
tell a friend. Tell your grandmother about us. Let us everyone know that. So the word of mouth, so we can get more listenership.
You can also, if you are feeling generous this Christmas season, we do have this upcoming Christmas season, we do have our Patreon set up. So if you go to Patreon and search for Synthaholics, we have different tiers of different things we may do as incentive for you to, you know, send us
obviously
a little bit of
pornographic
love.
Comics are on.
Yeah. They're not a reward yet, but
I guess they're going to be.
Aaron is getting on this immediately.
Oh man, what are you drawing down there? Boobs.
No. You have to draw the pair.
Look down,
not
Faith.
Just the one.
Look down.
Yeah. Stuck. Pair, but not just one boob.
Wait, what?
That's how it works. Damn.
Yeah.
That's what I got wrong.
Trying to make one boob.
They come in pairs.
Two boobs.
Just scan it in and, like, you know, cut and paste.
One is the loneliest mark that you've ever
had. We can't vote, but we need two.
But Gene Roddenberry wanted three on Deanna Troy.
That's just too many.
I'm sorry. Every time you say that, I think of
Total Recall.
Total Recall and the guy grabbing the three women's boobs. That's the only thing I ever think about every time you say that.
Isn't she a Star Trek person?
Yep.
Like, isn't she a guest star on Star Trek or something?
I'll have to look that up.
I can't remember. But anyway.
Added to the list of research.
Research! Never
so ends. Much research.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. Live long and prosper.
Ultra Woman, we love you!
We love you! It's adventures.
We laugh and we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Oh man. One of these days we're gonna get pictures. One of these days we're gonna
get
pictures.
And you know what? It's gonna be the most beautiful set of moobs you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Hairy and just perfect.